Welcome to Moon Monkey. On this episode, we're going to talk about The Favourite, directed by Yorgos Lanthimos.
So this film's been receiving a lot of praise from all directions and recently receiving a lot of nominations at certain awards ceremonies. The plot follows the court of Queen Anne, who's played by Olivia Colman, and her main advisor, Rachel Weisz, who's playing Lady Sarah. Her advisor is Lady Sarah, played by Rachel Weisz. And they sort of have this relationship, which is a little odd. Essentially, Lady Sarah is just sort of telling the Queen what to do. The Queen's pretty sickly and unable to rule. And you get the feeling that Lady Sarah is the true power behind the throne. Anyway, the beginning of the film, a girl called Abigail, played by Emma Stone, turns up. And from there, at that point on, there's essentially a power struggle between Abigail and Lady Sarah for who's going to be the Queen's favourite, as the title suggests.
Well, to begin with, though, like, Abigail, who's Sarah's cousin.
Yeah.
And that's the reason she manages to get into the palace in the first place, is because of her relationship to Sarah.
She essentially turns up looking for a job and sort of worms her way up towards...
But she's covered in shit, and she says, yeah, you can stay, but you're put down with all the other people in the scullery. And she's sleeping with all the servants, and she's not. She looks like she's not got hope of ever really getting out of there.
Yeah, so she sort of rises up. I think, like, for anyone who knows the Gormenghast novels, it's very much the steer pike trajectory from kitchen kitchen porter up to the higher echelons of sort of the power structure.
I feel like the steer pike trajectory would make a fantastic movie.
Yeah, it would make a great title for a movie. It just needs the script. But it's that kind of thing, and the film's very much based on sort of power plays and power struggles and hierarchy. Other great performances, Nicholas Hoult, who plays the leader of the... Is it leader of the Whig Party?
No, I think he's a Tory.
Oh, he's the leader of the Tory Party, who are in opposition. And then you have the leader of the Whig Party, and they're essentially struggling over what to do with relation to the French War, whether to send more troops or not send troops, or raise taxes on the population for the Queen Anne's War. And Queen Anne is essentially in the middle, doesn't know what to do, and these two guys are sort of pulling her both directions.
But really,
and Rachel Weisz is pulling one direction, Abigail's pulling another direction.
Really, like, all the male characters and the politicians are essentially pulling no strings because they have no power. It's all to do with, really, Queen Anne. And Sarah and Abigail.
Yeah.
And Sarah and Abigail want the war for their own reasons, or want to leave the war for their own reasons. And they're being encouraged by the parliamentarians, but really the parliamentarians have no power, and it's just...
Well, they rely on the Queen's giving her say-so for whatever they want to do. They can't decide it.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, the whole movie, like, the guys have no power, and it's all about...
So it's sort of an investigation of, like, where does true power lie? And sort of this idea of soft power, I suppose, in terms of, like, Lady Sarah's relationship with the Queen is sort of a form of soft power. She's essentially just, like, has such a relationship that she can steer her towards certain things that may be beneficial to her. Yorgos Lanthimos, I think we've really enjoyed all his other films. And although he didn't write this one, his style is sort of, you can see it there in some of the weirder aspects. There's some things, although it's a period costume drama, they include some elements such as sort of the weird dancing, like camera angles, and even some of the stuff that goes on in the movie, which is not the kind of thing you would usually find in a courtly drama.
It's definitely got, like, a weird twist to it.
Yeah, and the same thing with the script by Deborah Davis and Tony McNamara, again, like, just has elements and language which you don't necessarily hear in regular dramas.
Yeah, it's not very high on its verbiage. It keeps it quite... You can follow it.
It's easy
to follow. It doesn't go too, like, costume drama and with like the words being used and things like
but
that.
But yeah, it has some sort of, like, funny lines.
Yeah, well, it's very funny.
Yeah, it was much more of a comedy than I kind of expected, but it still has, like, the darker elements that Yorgos Lanthimos is known for. But this is very much, like, black comedy.
But there's also like, going throughout it, what maybe has got all these nominations and stuff like that for Olivia Colman, and is the tragedy of it, and, like, what she's going through and the pain she's going through with, like, the loss of her children and, you know, our loneliness in the palace, you know, not really having anybody. And, you know, her relationship with Rachel Weisz, who becomes like her, not only like the kind of like de facto leader, but she's like her confidant and a friend, and you know, they share a bed.
Yeah.
And it's the struggle between those Emma Stone.
But throughout, I feel like you're never like quite sure like what characters are thinking or what's going on.
Yeah.
Like behind the scenes, and which, and the thing is, it keeps you on the edge of your seat because you're not sure which way everyone's going to go, and like you're not sure whether people have been genuine or false or not, or yeah. why they're, what their motivations are. But yeah, the three main actresses in it, just exceptional performances, and I think that's what's garnered a lot of praise in the film as well. Like all three of them are up for awards and do a great job with the characters. The other thing I should mention is like the cinematography in the film was amazing. Sort of the candlelight and the great palaces, and the, I felt like the way it was set, mostly it's, I think it's all set like in or around the same palace environment.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like these big rooms with all their decorations and furniture really gave you a sense of the opulence of that period. And it, and I suppose in a sense it was sort of the distinction between the kitchen staff and the queens, again showing you like the hierarchy and the struggle, and there's probably like subtextual messages about sort of the relation, power relationships between different, and the class system in England, which is sort of a lot of people see that as a uniquely British or European thing with the royalty and the serfs.
I mean, it still felt like it had a message for today as well. I don't feel like it was all about the 18th century or whatever it was. So it still has that too, like it still has that poignancy.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like a lot of the themes in it were timeless, especially with the relationships with the main characters, and these archetypes and these types of people are sort of things that will resonate with everyone.
But there is that kind of current going straight about it just being like slightly ridiculous, and you know, in this big like place of power inside behind its walls, it's just completely strange
and anarchic,
ridiculous, with like the, you've got like the weird angles and the weird lenses, and you know, the, I don't know if it's like a fisheye or whatever, but
yeah,
like that kind of stuff. And there's like people, foppish men walking around just being ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like things are just slightly off kilter.
Yeah.
And then occasionally it would just break into like sort of surrealism with the, where they're throwing fruit at a guy.
Yeah.
And some scenes, and like I say, with the dance scene, it starts off where you're thinking, oh, we've seen this a million times, and then it just goes into something really weird. So it's like everything is just like that step away from tipping over into madness.
So it has that very, kind of like Yorgos Lanthimos feel to it, which his other movies have.
Yeah, but much more accessible than his other ones, I think, because of the plot and the story is easier to get your head around, and it's easier to understand the themes of the movie. But I feel like the story's fairly easy to follow, but there are those like other layers to it if people want to look into things. Like, we noticed a couple of things, and probably like repeat viewings would be rewarded by noticing even more background details. Like, there's a thing with people stroking certain objects in the film, which seems to be repeated. And I imagine there's other things which, if you watched it carefully, there's things going on in the background or that characters are doing, which are kind of subconsciously you're taking in as part of the piece. So yeah, that was our review of The Favourite. We'll be back again soon with more reviews.